Well, we're a little bit early, but that's okay. And that's our slideshow for today. Good morning, Sunday morning. It's nice to see everybody here today. And thanks, everyone. Thanks again for helping me through that song service. Jackie wasn't here to pawn it off on, although she is here now. I saw her back there. Thanks, Timothy, for getting the music ready and stuff. Years ago in Chicago, a young man named Bernard was down to his last few dollars, jobless and feeling hopeless after moving to the city for work. One cold evening, he walked into a community center just to get out of the weather. A volunteer named Frank noticed him sitting alone and bought him a simple hot meal and sat down to listen. No preaching, no questions about his situation, just genuine conversation and kindness. That small act of hospitality didn't solve Bernard's problems overnight, but it sparked something. Frank's consistent encouragement over the following weeks helped Bernard find housing resources, job leads, and renewed hope. Within a month, Bernard had stable work. Inspired by that one man's ordinary kindness, Bernard later began volunteering at the same center and has spent years paying forward the same simple hospitality to others in need. That's allegedly a true story, supposedly verified. I didn't verify it. But one meal coupled with a listening ear and maybe the drive to help somebody became the beginning of transformation in a case like this. But chances are you're not going to see this story in any significant kind of movie because it's not exciting enough. Things like this happen everywhere, every day. There are bigger and better things that claim the spotlight from these simple acts. But for today, we'll look at the smaller, or let's just say more common things, the everyday acts, not the once or twice in a lifetime kind of things that we see. We live in a world that tends to celebrate grand gestures and big dramatic moments. We have award shows that promote the best of the best in everything, movies, songs, sports. We see commemoration plaques dedicated to the biggest donors for various projects. And the same might be said about the Christian world. Often, what people's attention are drawn to are the bigger, more dramatic occasions. And even while reading scripture, we often find this to be true. It's those big stories that we remember the most. The stories of Noah, Joseph, Moses, Elijah, we talked about this morning. Even the story of Jesus. And then you can fill the rest in with all the common stories that we know. And of course, these are all important. They're interesting and exciting stories, and I have no intention to diminish them in any way. And I get it. We remember them because they're extraordinary. That's kind of the point. But I think it's also an easy point to forget sometimes that those moments aren't ordinary. But Scripture consistently shows that the church grows through ordinary faithfulness. We'll look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. I should have put markers in here. And it says, and this is from the NASB, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." This passage comes from a list of, it's a list that kind of paints the picture of maybe how the character of a servant of God should be. And a few times in here, it mentions love. Now, I want you to think for a moment about someone who has loved you. Just a moment. Whether it's family, friends, spouse, what comes to mind? Likely not one grandiose moment that established the status of love. It's more likely things like they remembered you. They checked in on you when you were sick. Maybe they invite you to dinner often. They listened to you. They heard you, or maybe they encouraged you. They consistently showed up when you needed somebody there. Most people who have had a significant impact on us did not gain that influence by one heroic act, but by several ordinary acts over a long period of time. And these ordinary acts, when looked at alone, they don't seem life-changing, but when we put them together, they can be. And just as with Frank and Bernard in the opener, love kind of accumulates like snow. The flurries turn into mountains, well, hills, but you get the idea. I want to look at the last word that we just read in Romans 12 at the end of 13. The word was hospitality, and what it might mean exactly. With the aid of Google's AI assistant, it's very helpful sometimes, the Greek word that was translated as hospitality, and I'm not Greek, but philoxenia, perhaps. But the literal translation is loving strangers or a friend to strangers, implying an open and generous welcome and care for those who are outside your immediate care. Hospitality is just another form of love. And like love, it's often built from many small acts that quietly add up to something that becomes life-changing. We tend to imagine it as grand gestures, maybe fancy meals and elegant spaces, but really it's much more ordinary and beautiful. Simply making room for someone else right where you are. God is able to work through these small acts. If we look at Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." And I'm not sure if it specifically refers to this account, but in Genesis 18, in about the first 10 verses, we have the story of Abraham. He's sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day when he sees three visitors approaching. He immediately runs to greet them, bows in respect, and urges them to rest while he provides water, bread, and a meal. Abraham and Sarah quickly prepare generous hospitality, serving fresh bread, a choice calf, curds, and milk. And during the meal, one of the visitors announces that Sarah will have a son by the following year. Here, Abraham's act of hospitality was the avenue in which God revealed to him the pathway to the promise that he had made for him. It's a reminder that we don't know what God might accomplish through our simple acts of kindness. Let's look next at the account from John 6. It's verses 1 through 14. And summarized, it goes something like this. As a large crowd gathered to hear Jesus, the disciples realized there wasn't enough food to feed everyone. Andrew found a young boy who was carrying 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Compared to the needs of thousands of people, his lunch seemed insignificant. And Andrew even remarked, "But what are they among so many?" It'd be easy to say, "This isn't enough food for everybody. It's better if I'm filled than for everybody to be hungry." Yet the boy was willing to share what little he had possessed. Jesus took the loaves and fish, gave thanks, and distributed them to the crowd. Everyone ate until they were satisfied, and when the leftovers were collected, they filled 12 baskets. What appeared too small to matter became more than enough when placed in Jesus' hands. It's easy to remember that the 5,000 people were fed. It was a great miracle. But of the 4 accounts, and this story is in all 4 accounts, I think it's only that one from John that mentions the kid who shared what he had. Still, these small acts don't go unnoticed. If we look at Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, it says, "And he, being Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all that she owned, all she had to live on.'" Again, these small acts of kindness that we do, and again, small in quotation marks, they don't go unnoticed. They accumulate. And we can see this from Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. I'm always upside down. All right, Matthew 25, 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me.'" Then it goes on to basically the opposite. The people who didn't help those who needed help. And if we jump to 46, 45 rather, "Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do this, you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.'" And we can see from this passage that these, again, small acts are noticed and they are remembered. What in this passage, what were the problems that the king noticed? Or what problems did he have? I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I had no clothes. I was sick. I was in prison. And these are all simple problems with easy solutions, well, for the most part. We don't have to call down fire from heaven to solve these problems. Simple solutions kind of remind me of the story of Naaman. It's in 2 Kings 5, about the first 20 verses. He was the commander of the army of Aram, and he developed leprosy and made his way to, which one was it, Elisha? Yeah, Elisha. At the advice of an Israelite captive. But then when he made a, in verse 10, Elisha instructs him what to do to be healed. It says, Elisha, so what I'm reading now is 2 Kings 5, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abna and Pharpah, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. He turned and went away in rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him, saying, my father, had the prophet told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? And I think this can be us at times. Maybe we're looking for a solution that's bigger than it really needs to be, something that's more glorious, something more memorable maybe. But sometimes the simple solution is the best. We don't need to form a committee just to give a hungry person a sandwich. We just need people who notice the need and are willing and able to fulfill it. Anyway, back to the I was hungry, thirsty, stranger. Most of these things we do for our kids every day with very little thought to it. And this is a manifestation of our love for our children. But when it comes to strangers, sometimes that love can be lacking, it seems. It can be easy to overlook, or maybe it's assumed that the system, government, or charity will take care of it. Or even in some cases, we may say their circumstances are consequences of their own decisions. And all that might be true, but looking back at the passage in Matthew, I don't think this gives us a reason to neglect the hospitality. When preparing for this message, I read this. Many people first believe they belong before they believe they believe, which is very wordy and kind of confusing. But simplified, it might sound something like this. Hospitality prepares the soil in which the gospel can take root. It's about what can be accomplished through a loving relationship. A church isn't welcoming because it's got a nice coffee shop. We don't have one, so I don't know why you pointed over there. That's where we keep the coffee. And it's not, oh, our projector has the best resolution. That's not what makes it inviting or welcoming. It's welcoming if the congregation acts in love and gives the real impression that you matter. If somebody comes in, they feel like they matter. They give the impression that you're seen or that you have a place where you belong. Earlier, we took a moment to think about someone who has loved you. Now let's take a moment to think about who has changed your life? I suppose at the moment. Usually, and I know not always, it isn't some famous preacher or a celebrity. I like to include Bob Dylan in my messages, so here he is. And although he's got some great lines, I like to listen to his music. I heard some earlier back there today. I can't honestly say that he's changed my life or anything. The typical answers are people who are close to you, that share a real relationship with you. The people that have made several smaller contributions into your life, maybe a teacher, grandparent, parent, neighbor, members of your congregation. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone here has changed my life more than Bob Dylan has. But it's the consistency of a loving relationship. These are the things that we quietly remember. They're not the big, bold, once-in-a-lifetime stories. The world celebrates spectacular achievements, and maybe sometimes rightly so. But Jesus celebrates faithfulness and service in which this faithfulness manifests. And in case my dad does listen to us, there's your James faith versus work coupling. Jesus celebrates faithfulness and the service or action in which the faithfulness manifests. Even the things that are small and maybe seem of less importance. Maybe the greatest legacy we leave isn't one glorious act, but 1,000 ordinary acts. It's every visitor that we greeted. It's every lonely person that we noticed. Every prayer that we offered for somebody. And each of these, again, small acts, says that there's room for you here. And this is exactly what was done for us. While we were still strangers or sinners, we were brought in, helped, and provided for, and we now have a place that we belong. And we can find this idea coupling Romans 5, 6, and 8 with Ephesians 2, 12 through 13. We have a little bit of time, so we may as well read those. Here's Romans 5, 6, and 8. It says, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then in Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So as we go throughout this coming week, I suppose, I want you to remember that even though at times these small actions of hospitality, just small interactions with the people around us, they may seem insignificant, but these small actions of kindness are important, and like we read before, they're remembered. And in the end, they are not small at all. When you see somebody who needs help, remember that we were the same, and we got the help that we needed. Don't ignore it or assume that it'll be taken care of. That's not what happened for us. And remember Matthew 25, that as you serve those in need, you're also serving Jesus. And that will conclude it, and we will sing our closing song, if I can find my paper. It will be song number 335, "Brighten the Corner Where You Are." It's